Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed it, you got to catch the first hour. Pastor Saeed, who started a house church network in Iran, is in jail right now, going to trial today, facing the death sentence for standing up for God in Iran. We got to lift them up. We got to pray for the persecuted church. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, in the Extra Hour. And joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Man, that is just something, isn't it, about the, you know, Pastor Saeed. It's just amazing. This American, he's an American citizen who has started the church, you know, in Iran, and they're meeting in houses. It's like a network. And he is facing trial right now for possible death sentence.
Right.
And we prayed for him, you know, on the air in our first hour. Please continue to pray for him. Pray for the persecuted church in Iran, that they'll be protected. But that's how evil radical Islam is. When people say that radical Islam is our friend, they're not. If they're loyal to the Quran, they're not.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Quran specifically says they're not.
Yeah.
But they can be converted. They can be, you know, become Christians. They can, you know, renounce that. But understand that's how radical Islam responds to Christians, non-Muslims, and Jews. I mean, that's pretty much how that they respond. Radical Islam, I'm talking about. But just horrific to see those type of things going on. You know, yesterday was MLK Day. MLK today. We're going to be in this extra hour here. We're going to be playing a speech from Dr. King. I want you to hear a part of his speech, just a powerful, as we're remembering Dr. King and what he said and what he stood for. But right now, I have a word. I have a word from a prophetic word, a dream, a prophetic vision that was given to Steve Hill. Steve Hill was the evangelist that God used to pour out a revival. A powerful revival in Pensacola, Florida. It's called the Brownsville Revival. And he, since then, has a ministry in Texas. And he faced death. He literally had cancer. He was facing death, you know, to the point that it could have been over, but God healed him.
Yeah.
But in that, God's given him a there's not a more passionate man that I know of for souls in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And but this is the vision, and he's talking the very storm that we've been talking about. He just got this vision, and he's talking about exactly what we're facing and what we're willing to do. But listen up.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity. At this popular resort, day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment, on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front line. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ his words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.
Such a powerful vision that God has given Steve Hill that lines up with what he's been showing us, even the sign that we saw even last night. That the resorts, as he was beginning to talk about, you know, the meaning of the vision, the resorts, it's these things that we build. And that you don't have to, it doesn't, if only 19% are reading the word, everybody's trusting in the resort. They're trusting in the thing that was built. And a battle is coming in. And all these, the snow represented false teaching and heretical teachings that are coming down over the church, over his people, and over the nations. And I mean, just such an urgency. It was just, it just grabs you, and it's just so true. It's so true. And it's time that we've been talking. That's what we're talking about. That's why we're here. You know, God told us about this day. We've been preparing and building and just, it's just kind of hard to explain the endless hours of preparing for what many didn't even think would be a reality. And now we're facing it. It's here and it's happening. And you can prepare. You can say, you know what? I'm going to begin to read the Gospels, and I'm going to read Jesus' words, and I'm going to apply them to me. I'm no longer going to look at anything else and bring people in as grids. I'm going to, like, this is what God wants me to do. This is what he expects from me, and this is sin, and this is not sin, and this is the expectations of us. The great expectation of God is not the great suggestion. It's for us to go. And to begin to go out, and you got to know the truth before you can say it. Your tongue cannot be anointed a blaze of fire for God if you don't even, if you're not even his disciple, you haven't even learned his ways, and you need to get trained up, and you need to get prepared for what's about to happen. And everything weighs in the balance. And just like Steve said, and this is the only thing that we can say, is that, you know, all we can do is tell you. All we can do is tell you. And we not only just told you, we've been preparing for a response, for a response. And and the only way to contradict a lie is for the truth to be spoken, and to be spoken in power that we've been talking about. It's going to take everybody to do whatever we have to do to be able to win or not be destroyed from what's about to happen. And I'm not talking about the end of the world or anything like that. I'm just talking about life as we know it.
And the heresy
that's being promulgated today is just amazing. But it's easy to do when you don't read your Bible. It's easy for somebody to tell me this is the way it happens and this way it is. And I've never read the Word of God, so I have to take their word for it. But if I'm reading the Word, if I'm in the Word, and we always encourage everybody's supposed to, you know, we want everybody to be abiding in the Word of God, but also to challenge. If it's not in the Word, let us know. We want it. That's what we're aiming for. But there's been, you know, conversations with those are not, they just created stuff.
Right.
And you start saying, well, where in the Bible is that?
Yeah, book. And then they go, verse, please.
Well,
book,
it's chapter, it's very disarming because they present it as if it's an oracle from God.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Finally, like, I must have missed that. I didn't see that. Where is that at? Then they go, well, it's not in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like so many things have been made up, and it's a philosophies of men and the, you know, men's traditions versus God's traditions. And, you know, we're all going to be held accountable for this,
mm-hmm.
and how we're going to respond. And just, I mean, we're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch so you can hear that and also be available, of course, on the post, but under prophetic words and there's a menu choice, I believe, on the Torch for prophecy. And we have all these words that God's been given us. And it seems like some really, really difficult times are coming. But understand, when difficult times come, that's when the church begins to pray. That's when they set aside, what was I thinking? They turn to God. They turn to the Bible and turn to others who are doing the same thing. The question is, will it be late, too late, mm-hmm. For us to be able to? And that things are so integrated right now in the world and in America, it's going to take the power of God being poured out in a powerful way on the church in America for us to be able to even see God turn this tide. We'll talk more about it in just a moment. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. You know, VFN Radio and VFNTV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it. And what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat, John, and Chris. Chris, man, what's God been saying to you, man?
Wow. I've been really encouraged by this morning, listening to everybody talk. It seems like everything that, you know, you guys have been talking about today just totally lines up.
It's neat how God does that, right?
Yeah.
It's just,
that's why the church says amen when they get together. It's not the end of a song, right?
Right, exactly. I've been reading in 1 John, mm-hmm. and it says in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands."
What?
If we obey his commands. We come to know God if we obey his commands.
Oh, and so it's easy to actually find out whether we know him or not, right?
Right.
Wow. Well,
that just really, there's more to it, but right there, which is, pause on that was, and that just really jumped out at me. It's like, okay, so how do we know God through his commands? Well, his commands tell of who he is,
right?
Or who he isn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They tell of his being, who he is, it's his makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God commands us things like, you know, do not steal, mm-hmm. do not murder. And Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other.
Mm.
He tells us to love our enemies.
All right.
That's how you grew up, right?
Yeah. That's who, me? This is what I'm learning.
Somebody strikes you in the cheek, remove their cheek.
Right.
That's BC before Christ.
Yeah. But then it tells us in Psalms to write God's commands on our heart, on the tablets of our heart. So we're supposed to take these commands because that's who he is, and uh-huh. that's how we learn of who he is and how we're supposed to be.
And he's like, when we do that, we don't mm-hmm. sin against him. When we hide his word in our heart, right on our heart,
right.
And that's how we know. I guess we don't want to sin.
Right. Exactly. And you know, Jesus lived a life of humility. You know, he didn't say or do anything that he didn't first hear from his Father. You know, he was totally dependent on God. And this is how we're supposed to live our life. You know, we are to walk as Jesus did in total surrender.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the scripture goes on to say in 1 John, it says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar.
Mm.
Are you serious?
And the truth is not in him.
Is that wild?
That is wild.
That just really kind of goes in right in line with what the vision that Steve Hill mm-hmm. was talking about,
mm-hmm.
all the faults,
right?
Things that are taking place. Because it's real easy to find out if somebody knows God because you can tell it by their life, right?
Right.
Yeah, their fruit.
By their fruit, you will know them. And that alone puts the fear of God into you.
Oh, yeah.
You walk around and you say, oh, you know, how many times have we had these conversations with people? Like, oh, yeah, I know God.
Yeah. I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. Right. Huh. And, they don't know him.
Right.
They don't know him at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, his word is not, his commands are not on their hearts.
Right.
Because you look at their fruit, like Pat was just saying, you look at their fruit, it's not there. You don't see it.
Yeah. Huge difference knowing of Jesus and knowing him. Knowing about him and knowing him are two different things.
Right.
Exactly. I always think the very presence of false religion should put the fear of God in everyone. If somebody who desires to worship that bad, that they end up worshiping something else,
right?
Yeah,
and they religiously do it, should put a fear of God in those who say that they want to follow Christ and they want to be Christians and believers. That it's not a frivolous thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
no,
it's a commitment,
right?
You know, salvation is free, but it costs you everything.
Wow, it's awesome.
Wow.
And so the scripture goes on to say, it says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him.
So obedience is not singing a song or fixing yourself up. I'm obedient. Mm-hmm. Loving God is not singing a song,
right?
Or fixing yourself up or preaching a sermon or teaching somebody. It's obedience.
Right.
With parents, it kind of works. We understand that, right?
Yeah.
My children obeyed me. I feel this ooshy gooshy feeling inside of me.
And any parent, how that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
He listened.
Yeah, right. And if
he put the gun down.
Oh, wow.
Whoa,
childhood flashback there. The But the that is must be an evil respond that we imagine God's perfect heart when we obey him. I mean, think about his perfect heart, and he has a perfect response. And our imperfect response is pretty cool. But God's perfect response when we love him and obey him. If we love God,
we'll obey him.
We'll obey him.
That's why obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, it's like the religion focuses on people doing stuff for God. And God's like, just do what I tell you to do. You know what I'm saying? But put down the robe or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it says, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
Wow.
And that's exactly what we've been talking about all morning. You know, so what you this is just the last word we were talking about. You know, it's following in his footsteps. It's imitating Christ. Even Paul says boldly, you know, imitate me and how I walk. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to imitate Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
this is what I just heard recently says, you know, if you got the measles, but you preach the mumps for hours. Mm. When you finish preaching, everybody's going to have the measles because you reproduce what you are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that if you're walking that walk, you're really walking with God, and it's just evident. Mm. I mean, two people who don't even know each other in the natural sense who are walking with God, when you see them encounter each other, it's just this beautiful family reunion. Even if they don't even speak the same language, it's just like they're just like oohing and awing over each other because they are ones that walk with God. And it seems peculiar today in our culture because our culture has so left God. Right. So to walk normally before God in obedience to God and his commands and not to desire to sin, and which we all sin and fall short, but it's not something we want. It's something that we're seeking God to be empowered by his spirit not to. And but it's so the culture is so shifted that walking like that seems really peculiar.
Right.
In the midst of the resorts, as Steve said in his word.
Right, exactly.
It's like, I just talked about Jesus, not here. This is a resort, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about it. Today is the play. We're doing the play today. We're doing the play today. It's like, but I'm dying.
Right.
Yeah, they look at you like you're crazy, like you've done lost your mind.
Right.
It's like
you pray?
Right.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, no, and it's like
there's something wrong with you.
Right. Yeah, and the God loves you, God's got a plan for your life, and understanding that it's good to you know, test yourself to see if you're in the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what Chris is saying, that's a perfect way to test yourself. That do I walk in obedience to God? Do I even know what he expects of me? Have I even looked in his word? Have I got around somebody who knows him and walks with him that wants to disciple me and the Lord and teach me his ways? And do I desire it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're testing yourself. That's what he says, right? Mm-hmm. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith.
Right.
And so this other heresy that's been taught is saying that you don't have to test yourself for nothing, that you can just... If you said a prayer at some time in your life, despite you just murdered somebody or you just, you know, whatever, you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you just said a prayer and you never became his disciple. I mean, only God would know in the context of where that person's heart is at. But the truth is, you'll know yourself. You'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look to men to assure your salvation, saying, am I saved?
That's a clue.
And a bigger clue is if he told you yes.
Exactly.
If a broken man who needs Jesus told you yes, and you have to understand, it's your spirit that bears witness with God's spirit that you are born again, that you'll know, you know. You just know. And it's different. You're not perfect. You're especially in your beginning journeys, you're making mistakes. And but you got to be discipled. If not, you know, just like the seed and the soils that Jesus told us about, there was four seeds and four soils. The first seed is a seed that fell on a path, and the birds came and took it right away. And there's seed that fell on rocky places, and the sun came up and burned it away. And there was seed that fell on within thorns and weeds and all, and it was choked out. And then there was seed that fell on good soil, and it produced 30, 60, 90 times what was sown. Well, what he's talking about here, that soil is men's hearts. Mm-hmm. And the seed is God's word. And so these first three, or the first two, the second and the third one, the first one, they hear the word of God, but Satan steals it from them. So they didn't ever believe.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one, as Jesus talks about it, they're believers. They actually hear the word with great joy and they receive it, but they didn't get discipled. They did not have any roots. They didn't get their roots down in God. And when hot times and the persecution comes because of the word, they have no roots to be able to survive that, and they fall away,
mm-hmm.
which means they did say yes, but then the persecution and all drove them away from their decision. Mm-hmm. And the second one is one that fell on the thorns and thistles and all that situation. And that's the cares and deceitfulness of riches, this life. And I got these worries and cares and all that. And then that person receives the message and believes, but then they turn and justify no longer believing and walking in God based on they needed more money, their job, the worries, and things are going wrong in their life. And that happens. And the last one is the one out of all four of those is the one that actually is a believer and still is a believer because they produce fruit in keeping with their repentance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
30 and 60 and 90 times. And the process of as soon as you become a believer, you need to be discipled. You need to find out about this Jesus that you've given your life to. It's important because Satan comes in immediately to steal that. You know, you're going to go through difficult times. Storms are going to come. Hot times are going to come to you. And if you don't have any roots to be able to hold you there, if you hadn't built your house on the rock, you're not a doer of the word of God, the storm's going to wash you away. And then the cares of this life and the wrong priority with money. I mean, America's got a wrong priority with money, and they... In the American church, a lot of the church believes that you can serve money and God.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, Jesus said you can't.
Right.
You know, you're going to be divided. You're going to lift one up over the other. And right. It's just not going to work. You got to pick up your mind. Make up your mind. Is God God or is money God?
Yeah.
And there's so many, you don't come right out and say it, but every decision they're talking about, they're really talking about their job. They're talking about money. And it's like, well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're talking about God because he said, you don't have to worry about these things. I'll take care of them. And we should be diligent. We should have integrity in what we're doing. But understand that you can't put money over God and expect, you know, not to be choked out by that whole concept, because when difficult times come and the worries and the deceitfulness, cares of this life and deceitfulness of riches choke that out,
yeah.
That truth, that encounter with God, because they believed it as well.
Yeah, and God's interested in seek ye first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these other things would be added to you, but you can't seek his kingdom and your kingdom at the same time. It's God's kingdom only, and God knows what you need.
Yeah, you just got to trust him. You got to trust the one that you've given your life. That's a real good word, Chris. And that's just how you can test yourself if you're in the faith by, do I even want to know what God has to say? Or do I want to read my Bible, which means I want to read what he has to say? And do I want to apply that to my life? Do I want to walk that way, which would be different probably than the way that we're walking?
Mm-hmm.
It's called repentance.
Right.
When I think of John the Baptist, he told me, he says, listen, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance, because the axe is already laid at the root. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. Understand, it's very, very important. It's an eternal decision for you. You want to know that you know God. And you can know that because your spirit will bear witness with God's spirit that you are a son or a daughter of God. If you have not yet made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you can do it right this moment. You can stop what you're doing and you can say, I've been religious. I've been asking other people about God, but God, I want to know you. I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. I want to be your disciple. I want to be one that gets roots down and fruit up. I want to be fruitful for you. I want to be able to live for you. I want to be able to by your grace and by your spirit, just be yours. If that's you today, just say, that's me, God. God, I'm yours. I'm yours. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me where I've sinned and I've fallen short, Lord God. Forgive me. Make me yours. God, receive me into your family, Father. Receive me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Bring me in to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus, I'm yours. If that's you, we have some things to help you out at meetmyfather.org. Go to meetmyfather.org. It kind of shares a couple of our experiences and also a pathway to be able to work your way to a place of really understanding to get roots down and fruit up.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not yet thought about, if you haven't thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you feel like you have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do it? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to VFNU.org. VFNU.org. I think about that promise keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to them. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John, coming to the last part of the Extra Hour. What a program we had today. If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. We're talking about things that are taking place when Iran, that this is the 40th anniversary, anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which means, which is the abortion's legal, that's what that means, that that it's a whole generation now that said that it was okay for 55 million Americans to be killed over the last 40 years, one every 30 seconds if you spread it out. And, you know, something's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And if you missed the first part of this extra hour, where you're hearing a vision that was given to Steve Hill of Steve Hill's Ministries, he was the one that was the evangelist that came to Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, on Father's Day of 1995, where God poured out his spirit in a powerful way called the Brownsville Revival. And it's just bam. I mean, it's like, there, this is it. And I just couldn't regretfully be any more agreement with it, because that's what we've been hearing.
Yeah.
And and it's just time. We're going to have to get out in the field and begin to do the work. And sad to say, we're going to have to prepare ourselves, because we're not prepared if we're not reading a word. We're not Jesus' disciple, if we don't even know the Lord's voice, and we're going to go into the war zone, the spiritual war zone, we're very vulnerable. And so quickly begin to prepare yourself for what's about to take place. It's going to be a great time. Listen, the kingdom of God's going to expand. It's going to grow. But understand, difficult times are ahead. The Lord is going to deal with all these false teachings and all these things that are taking place. Mm-hmm. And so many things has replaced love. You know, you don't even need love. You can do this whole thing without love. And God says, well, if you do that, the whole thing, you're a liar, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is do I love, and do I feel love here? Do I feel the love of God here? And it's very, very important. And we shouldn't be looking at everybody else to love us. It's like, do I love? You know, do I love? And so you got to catch that. I want to share before we get to the end of the extra hour today about those that are, think about it, the regrets of living life safe. And that's where America's been. America's been living life safe in the last 50, 60, 60 years probably, in the 50s is when everybody really started focusing on just get in your house and your
white picket fence,
your job, white picket fence, your wife and your three or four kids, and you go to your job, you come home, you go to your job and you come home. But it's gotten, and the thing about the 50s and the 60s, or pretty much the 50s, is people who didn't know God then feared God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Today, people who say they know him don't fear him.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just amazing that the times and the seasons that have changed. And it's become about, you know, the job and the career and the property, and they have, you know, the programs, and I see these programs on television where they show the next house after the next house after the next house, the next house, the next house, and it's like, what does the world really think of Americans?
Yeah.
You know, the right. ones that are, and obviously they're probably not getting that channel, but you're just thinking, my goodness, how embarrassing, we're paying mm-hmm. $4 million for the next one because this one didn't have the right color for us or something, and this is amazing. But think about it, you know, the regret of living life safe. As believers, we're called to live by faith. Faith is what you're, it's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's about living in the now. Now faith is. That's what we're called to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, we're called to take risks in the cultures that we live in, to speak in a way in the culture that we live in that's very risky because it's against the culture normally of what's going on as we begin to share the things of God. We're called to give so that we have. You know, we're called to make God known in all the earth through his son, Jesus Christ. We're risking persecution, pain, loss of things and stuff and freedom. But listen, there's no, who's risking that? Who's stepping out? Who's stepping out in the church? Christians. I'm talking about Christians here. We know some ones that are stepping out that aren't Christians. Like, my goodness, if the Christians could step out like that.
That's right.
You know, are we willing? And that's what we're called to do. It's not like some optional thing. And you're living your life for regret if you're not. Because you're going to stand alone before God and the throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to say, what did you do with your life? Well, I've gathered things and stuff. And I didn't respond to the orphan. I didn't respond to the homeless. I didn't respond to the lost people that I could have told them about you. And we're going to be held accountable for that. Think about it. 97, the Christians in America, for example, according to George Barna, you know, we're not willing to be inconvenienced even with our own children, because statistically that the reason why abortions happen is because that child's going to cost me to work harder. It's going to, you know, we already have enough kids, and the inconvenience of self
mm-hmm.
or what people will think of me or all those different things that happen. It's statistically, it's not just the world getting abortions. And now you're seeing the numbers come down for the actual doctor abortion. But if you back up a little bit and look at the day after pill or Plan B pill, the numbers are skyrocketed.
Yeah.
The numbers are skyrocketed. And the selfish aspect of it is, and then 97% of the regular church attenders, according to George Bonner, are robbing from God. Because not willing to take a risk to trust God, to give him, he gives us everything, and you can't honor him with his tithes and offerings out of that. It's like, we're not in the, you know, we're called, living life safe will not end well at the throne of God, because we're called to trust God, not trust ourselves and trust what we do. Even though God blesses the work of our hands and he doesn't mind us having things as long as things don't have us. But listen, if those things have us and God doesn't have us, it's not going to be well.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned about the orphan. He's concerned about the child in sex trade. He's concerned about the poor and the hungry and the homeless. He's concerned about that person that you have not even yet witnessed to and told them about this God that you profess to know. He wants them to know. He loves them. He loves mankind. He died for all mankind. And we're going to have to answer for that. You know, versus, you know, we're called to live by faith, not by sight. Jesus said, they'll hate you. They hated me, they'll hate you. And that's a risk. A lot of people aren't willing to take that risk to not be liked by people as they stand up for God, or being made to look foolish, you know? And think about it. Paul talked about, of I'm always last of the procession of faith, basically where the dung of the animals that are in the parade are left behind. I'm locked up in prison, falsely accused. Everybody, including Jesus, who stood up for God, were treated poorly in this world and lost things and lost reputation and all these different things. And so we're called to be risk takers. The day that we're in right now, and the thing about it is we're in a culture that says that's okay. But God says, no, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to step out. It's more than believing God for a better car.
Right.
It's more than, you know, believing God for your next house payment. It's about believing God for human beings, people that are lost, that don't know him, and you telling them about him. It's about you loving people and stepping out at your workplace and everywhere you are in your life for God, not being ashamed of him before men, so he won't be ashamed of you before the Father. Listen, it's time to be a risk taker. It is this thing about living a safe life, and what you're seeing is 401ks crashed, and they're about to crash again, because all these people who lived their life and didn't say, yeah, I got it all figured out, I'm going to work my days, and I'm going to retire, and I got my pension. You know, I think it's like 47 states, according to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, has pensions due now that they don't have any money to pay them. And it's all coming to a head. It's all coming to a head. And the only thing that's coming to a head is the decision that you failed to make early on in your life. You need to make it now, which is making Jesus the Lord of your life,
right?
Not your pension, not your retirement. Understand that, just like, you know, the Lord told you, Pat, that enjoy it for a season, because nothing's secure.
Right.
You know, it comes and it goes. And we're called to be risk takers. You're called to say, you know, God may speak to you and say, listen, go to China. He may tell you, you know, go to another city and begin to plan a church. He may call you to begin to just shake your own city that you're at. But quite often, he's calling you to a different city, because even Jesus in his home city, it was real difficult for him to minister in his home city in Nazareth. And he's Jesus.
Right.
The best thing to do is just ignore Nazareth and keep on ministering.
And move on.
And move on. Yeah. But understanding that's who we're called to be. We're called to be risk takers. And the regret of living a safe life is dread at the throne room of God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to seize, you know, as Steve Hill said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. And this is the opportunity that we have while we're still alive, while we still have a chance to. We need to not live a safe life, but be willing to do everything that we can do. You know, regret is a horrible thing, because when it's all said and done, you don't want to live like, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's over. It's done with. And we can learn from that. We can say, listen, you know what? I don't want to have those regrets on the back end. I want to do all that I can in the strength that I have for God, because I'm going to see him one day, and I want to have something to offer him. I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. You only have one. You only have one life.
Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?
That's right.
That's what it's going to boil down to. Yeah. Did my son die for that?
Yeah.
For a pension plan? For a larger house?
Mm-hmm.
Man, what was it? What was the thing that he died for? And that's where we are right now. It's going to require men and women to rise up. You think about this pastor right now that's in jail for planting churches in Iran, who are meeting in houses, like a network there, that he's in jail facing a life sentence. I mean, how beautiful is his reward for being willing to go into Iran?
Right.
That they consider you get a death penalty for preaching Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing for God? How is our life a sweet fragrance to God?
Right.
And fragrances come by denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following the Lord. He says, you know, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Think about that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say, here's my body, Lord. Use me as you will. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Here we are.
Right.
But that's not that way. I mean, right now, it's not that way. So many other things are being taught right now. And they're false teachings. If it doesn't line up with, this is what a false teaching is. It might not make sense to you when you hear that. If Jesus says left in his word and somebody's preaching right, or if Jesus says yes in his word and somebody else is saying, well, it used to be yes, but now it's no.
Yeah.
Because things are changing. That's a false teaching. It's just the word of God is in its original form is without error.
Yeah.
Without error. And it's powerful as living, it's active than a sharper than a double edged sword. And the world cannot shake it because it's so powerful, because God is with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about that. So this is the day to really just shake ourselves, because deception, the word deceived, means what we think we're doing is right when we're wrong. Uh-huh. And so deception is just blanketing America right now. And deception is just, in the church, you see people just deceived and saying, you know, everything's okay, everything's fine, when everything they're doing and everything that they're saying and how they're living is totally different than what God would say and expect.
Yeah. Well, God allowed us to be born for his purposes, not for our own. You're saying the Bible says he knit us in our mother's womb. And so it's not so that we can acquire more and more and more, but it's to say, God, you know, you created me for a purpose. What do you want me to do with this one life? I only have one.
Right.
And we have that chance to do something.
And it's like I was saying that when you're 10 years old, if your life's moving slow, you know, the M will never get you like 10 miles an hour. You're 10 years old. Is about 10
Are we
miles
there
an
yet?
Hour.
Are we there yet?
Are you
we
there?
There
yet? Right, right. Yeah. I remember looking at the clock in school going, that's the slowest moving second hand I've ever seen in my life. Then, you know, you're 25 years old, and now your life is moving at 25 miles an hour towards the end of your life.
Right.
And then you reach 40 years old. Now you're driving at 40 miles an hour, and you realize, listen, this thing's going to end. And how am I going to answer for this? How am I going to answer for this? And you look at even, I don't want to speak, you know, we have a lot of time about it, but if even the elderly in our own nation, in our church, you know, what are you living passionately for God? Are you setting the example for those that are coming after you? Most all are living for ourselves. We've got to say, you know what? We've got to begin. We're going to have to answer for this because of 50. That's 50 miles an hour. Think about it. It's ending, and we're going to answer for it. I want to encourage you. So many resources available at VFNTV.com on the VFN Torch and also VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Maybe that's for you.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.